Thanks for checking out the Root Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you. Now, here's Pastor Rich Wilkerson.
So Exodus chapter 8 is where we're going to be reading from. If you got a Bible, turn there. If not, you can read from this big Bible I've got up on stage. This is what the text says. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says. Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will send a plague of frogs on your whole country. The Nile will teem with frogs. They will come up into your palace and your bedroom and onto your bed, into the houses of your officials and on your people, and into your ovens and kneading troughs. The frogs will come up on you and your people and all your officials.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the streams and canals and ponds, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt.' So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. But the magicians did the same thing by their secret arts. They also made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, 'Pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people, and I will let your people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord.'" Now watch this. "Moses said to Pharaoh, 'I leave to you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and your officials and your people, that you and your house may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile.'" Watch this. "Tomorrow," Pharaoh said. Tomorrow. When I was a little boy, I heard a message title, and it came to me this week as I was reading this text in my daily devotion. And I want to preach to you today from the thought, one more night with the frogs. One more night with the frogs. In the month of December, I believe God's going to speak to you. You don't have to wait till January. You can make a change right now, today. Come on, anybody got faith in the 1 p.m. service? All right, I'm going to pray. We're going to let God begin to do his thing. Lord, we thank you so much that you brought us here. We thank you for our church. Lord, we thank you, God, that it's not perfect, but you are perfect. God, we thank you, Lord, that in the midst of all of it, Lord, in the brokenness, Lord, that your grace, it shines through. Lord, I pray that today you would speak to us in a mighty, crystal clear way. May we never be the same after today. We honor you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. And all of God's people said, amen. Come on, all of God's people said, amen. Hey, 1 p.m., if you love Jesus, I want you to make some noise in this house. One of my all-time favorite characters in the Bible has to be this guy, Moses. A lot of reasons for that, but one of my favorite things about Moses is that Moses speaks to the leader in all of us. Every single one of you, I believe, you're called to be a leader. Leadership simply means influence. And the life of Moses is interesting because we get to see a big part of his life, but we also see a big part of his leadership. Moses' story really picks up again in Exodus, and after he's left Egypt and now he's in the desert, God calls him to a mission. Some of you remember the story. It's a burning bush that's speaking to Moses, and God calls Moses and says, "Moses, I'm going to use you to set my people free from Egypt." Now, I love Moses because his natural response back to God is he says, "But God, I can't speak well." Have you ever noticed that when God calls you, many times we are tempted to say "but" back to God? "But I'm not good enough. But I'm not smart enough. But I don't have enough education. But I'm not qualified." Let me remind some people today that you serve a God that doesn't call the qualified, but rather he qualifies the called. He can use you if you'll simply obey him. God says, I'm gonna send you back to Egypt. And so Moses goes to Egypt, and he goes with his brother Aaron. Now, the Israelites have been in bondage in Egypt for 400 years. They're slaves in Egypt. As you read the historical accounts of what they went through, it was a completely brutal and barbaric state that they were living in. Women were raped. Children were sacrificed to false gods. And now the appointed time for freedom has come to them, and God has chosen a man by the name of Moses to set the people free. So the Bible says that Moses, he goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh is the king of Egypt. And he says, "Pharaoh, let my people go." Now, as you study the scriptures, what you'll see is that Pharaoh, the Bible says, his heart was hard towards God. And for today, I think it's really important that we see that Pharaoh in the story, he represents evil. He represents rebellion. He represents a hard heart that even when God speaks to him, he refuses to listen. So God says, okay, I'm going to get Pharaoh's attention. And many of you, you can go back to Sunday school class and you can go back to the flannel graph. Others of you, maybe you didn't go to Sunday school, so let me tell you the story. God begins to send plagues upon Egypt. Not one plague, but 10 plagues. All sorts of stuff. The first plague is that he turns the Nile River into blood for 7 days. He does other plagues, locusts, flies, lice. The last plague, the 10th plague, is the worst plague. It's the angel of death that comes and kills the firstborn living in Egypt. So many plagues, and all of these plagues trying to get Pharaoh to obey and listen to the man of God and to God's will. Yet today in our text, what we're reading about is we're reading about the second plague. And the second plague, ever since I've been a little kid, has always been very peculiar to me. Because God decides to send a plague of frogs to Egypt. Not a few frogs. We're talking about a lot of frogs. Frogs everywhere. Frogs everywhere up in Egypt. And I've always found it funny. Like, can you imagine up in heaven, God calling the angels? Come on, guys. Let's talk about this for a minute. What should the second plague be? And you can see the angels like, oh, yeah, lightning, God. No, that's not going to work. Knives from heaven, God. No, that's not going to work. I'm going to frog them. What? Oh, yeah, we're going to send so many frogs up into Egypt. They're going to get so annoyed with frogs jumping and hopping all over the place. In fact, as you read the text, as you read the story, it gives a lot of detail about where these frogs were. These frogs were up in Pharaoh's palace. They were in the official's home. The frogs were in the kitchen. The frogs were in the oven. Opening up drawers, there's frogs. Getting in your bed, there's frogs. The Bible says frogs were on people. Can you imagine waking up and frogs all over you? Like, get off me, frogs. Ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. There's frogs everywhere. Now, before you go, like, this is so random and so weird. Why is God sending frogs? Understand that every plague that God sent, it was in connection or correlation to one of the false gods in Egypt. You see, Egypt was full of false gods. Egypt worshiped all sorts of things. Kind of like Miami. We love to worship all sorts of things. We praise all sorts of things. Some people are like, I don't like to lift my hands during the song part. I'm not really into worship. Well, let me tell you really clear. You worship something, okay? I know who I worship. His name is Jesus Christ. He deserves all my attention. My hands go up. My posture changes. My heart is drawn towards him. We all worship something. Question is, do you know what you worship? In Egypt, they worshiped all sorts of false gods. And one god in particular, when it comes to the frogs, was this god known as Heket. Everyone say Heket. Heket was an Egyptian goddess of fertility. Now, when you study the pictures of Heket, Heket had the head of a frog. And in Egypt, when somebody was getting ready to conceive a child or when they were hoping to have a child, they would go to the temple and they would offer sacrifices to Heket that they might bring life into the earth. Now, what happens here is there's so many frogs showing up in Egypt, and so Pharaoh calls his magicians and sorcerers. Now, these magicians and sorcerers, they are able, through illusion and through magic, to create frogs, but they can't seem to stop the frogs. You see, when God was sending frogs, he was telling Egypt, go ahead, cry out to Heket. But what you're going to discover is that every knee and every tongue must confess the one true God. Even Heket has to bow down to the one true God known as Yahweh. Even Heket must submit to Jehovah. And so finally, so many frogs and frogs everywhere, frogs up in the house, just frogs. That Pharaoh calls upon Moses and Aaron. And I want to take you back to what the text says. Look at this, Exodus chapter 8. Pharaoh, he summoned, that's what kings do, they summon people. It's like Jafar from Aladdin, I summon you, you know? How cool would that be if you're at your office tomorrow, like, I summon Bob, get over here. Like, sorry, made me laugh. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people. Now watch this. And I will let your people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Moses, Aaron, please get rid of these frogs. Pray to your God. Heket's not listening. Our gods aren't listening. Get rid of these frogs. Now watch what Moses says. Moses said to Pharaoh, watch this. I leave to you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and your officials and your people that you and your household may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile. Now watch this. Moses is saying, hey, you set the time. Now you're getting ready to read the dumbest and most ridiculous answer in the entire Bible. Frogs everywhere, frogs up in the house, frogs in the bed. Pharaoh, you tell me when you want these frogs to go. Look at what Pharaoh says. Tomorrow! What? I'm gonna leave it up to you. When do you want me to pray? And when do you want to get rid of these frogs? Let me think about that for a moment. Tomorrow. What? This is ridiculous. If you can set the time, why not right now? I don't want frogs in my house anymore. I'm so sick and tired of eating frog legs every night. Get rid of these frogs. I can't do one more minute with these frogs. When do you want to set the time, Pharaoh? Tomorrow. I don't know what it is, but so often we put things off until tomorrow that can be done today. See, frogs in your house, they don't belong in your house. And so for today's lesson, I wonder, what things are in your life right now that do not belong there? What things have you decided, it's okay, I'll get on that tomorrow. Wow. I'll get rid of the frogs tomorrow. I'll do one more night with the frogs and then I'm gonna change. Wow. Friend, you don't have to wait for a New Year's message in 2018. The goodness of God can meet you right where you are today. You don't have to do another night with the frogs. Tonight, you can see that thing change, turned around. Come on, anybody believe in the power of God to turn things around in a moment? I'm gonna do one more night with the frogs. What's in your life right now that you are tolerating that does not belong in your life? We could go through the room, and some of us, it's hidden sin that we just continue to rehearse. We continue to struggle with it, never talking about it, never bringing it to somebody else's attention, never agreeing with somebody else in faith, and we keep going, I'm gonna deal with this tomorrow. It could be unhealthy habits that are taking us to a toxic place that we never seem to address, we never seem to focus on. You might have some frogs in your life, they're called the wrong relationships. And you started 2017 saying, I know one thing I gotta change, I gotta clear my house of these frog relationships. Ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. Yet here we are, December 17th, and that same dude is up in your house. That same girl's clinging to your life, and nothing seems to change because you got frogs up in your house. I'm gonna do one more night with these frogs. It could be just laziness that God has spoken to you time and time again. You know what to do. You're just unwilling to do it. You say, Rich, this is like you're making me feel condemned. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm trying to convict you. That you might find the power through the Holy Spirit to say, I'm not gonna spend one more night with these frogs. Tomorrow I'm gonna change. Tomorrow I'm gonna get a hold of this. Tomorrow I'm gonna focus on that. You don't have any more time. Your moment is right now today. Change starts today. Come on, somebody full of faith, go ahead and give God a big shout of praise. Change starts today. Pharaoh says, Moses, why don't you pray tomorrow? I'll do one more night with frogs all over me. If you're here today and you got some frogs in your life, you got some things in your life that don't belong, listen to me loud and clear. Sometimes in order to pick up something new, you have to let go of something old. And so before you can even step into the new year, grabbing hold of all the things God has for you, what is it that you need to release today and say, that's some frogs in my life. They don't belong in my house. They don't belong in my life. If you have some frogs in your life, let me just give you three quick thoughts. This is really simple teaching today, but I want you to write these down. Number one, if you got some frogs in your life, listen to me loud and clear. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is not bliss. We believe this lie. But if I don't focus on it, if I just ignore it, it will go away. How silly is that? Can you imagine Pharaoh being like, yeah, there's not really actually frogs in here. I'm just going to pretend that they're not here. Yet many times this is what we do with our spiritual life. Yeah. We just pretend like there's not stuff that's there. We just pretend and we just shift our focus and we ignore it. And as we ignore it, what we're doing is we're hiding the stuff that's in our life. Can I just be honest with you, especially here at VU Church? VU Church ought to be the safest place in the world for you to come, for you to exhale, for you to take the mask off and say, yo, I got some frogs in my life and I can't keep going this way. Some of you, it's time for you to confront some stuff. It's time for you to acknowledge some stuff that's there. This next year, it's not going to be any different unless you do something different. I wrote it down in my journal this way. You can't change what you fail to name. Pretending it's not there doesn't make it any better. Behaving like it doesn't exist, it's not going to get any better. You have to name that thing. You have to call that thing out. You have to address it. You have to change it. You have to get rid of it. Well, watch what Solomon says, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. Meaning, when I hide, listen to me, hiding is exhausting. Lying to others and to yourself, oh my, that's a perfect equation for a life of anxiety, worry, and fear. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses, the one who acknowledges and renounces them finds mercy. See, every bit of mercy you're looking for, every bit of rest, it's always found on you stepping into the light and getting real with the things that are going on in your life. You got to name it. You got to call it out. After Thanksgiving, I woke up the Friday after Thanksgiving, and I was a bit under the weather. And I don't know if you're like me, but I don't like going to the doctor. There's a lot of reasons why I don't like going to the doctor. I don't do good with shots. I don't do good with waiting room. I just don't like the doctor's office. And so I woke up with a head cold, and I kind of had this, you know, this feeling like I probably should go to the doctor. I was like, I'm not going to go. And so I kind of fought through that thing for a week. And then I woke up the next week, and whatever the infection was had now moved to my eyes. And I woke up the Monday after, and I couldn't open up my eyes. They were so swollen and sealed shut with just, it was pretty gross. I found out I had conjunctivitis. Wow. What is that? Sounds like a death disease right there. You say that to someone, they're like, they back away from you, you know? What are you struggling with? Conjunctivitis. And so I went and kind of got some medicine for that, but even a week later, I didn't rest, I didn't slow down. And Thursday, this past week, I woke up, I went to the gym, and in the gym, I just kind of felt like I was a little bit slower than normal. I was like, I don't feel so good. And I went over to the VU headquarters. I had a meeting scheduled that morning, and while I was sitting in the meeting, I just felt this serious like pressure on my chest. And every time I inhaled, it felt like cold air was just going right into my lungs. It was just uncomfortable. I left HQ. I went over to meet with my wife because that's what you do when you're a grown man and you're scared. Like, hey, babe, am I okay? And so Don Trudeau and we talked, and I was scheduled to fly to Houston. And so we felt like the engagement was important for me to be at. So Kyle Graham, who serves on our team, he and I, we went to the airport, and walking through the airport, getting ready to go on the flight, and I'm just kind of out of breath. I'm lacking energy, and it's hard for me to breathe, and the pressure kind of seems to increase. We get on the airplane, and as we're taking off, I said, I just need to take a nap. If I just close my eyes, I'll feel better, you know? And so I fall asleep, and about 20 minutes later, I wake up, and when I wake up, the pressure now is just like, is increased so much. As I'm breathing, it's a piercing feeling. Just moving around, I'm like, I'm having shortness of breath. My heart rate is increasing. So I got on the Wi-Fi, and you ever been on WebMD before? Let's just say that doesn't build your faith. I put my symptoms in, and the first thing that came up is, you're having a massive heart attack. And once again, I'm not a drama queen, I'm a drama king. Have you ever read something about yourself and you start manifesting that stuff? It's like, is your arm numb? I'm like, yeah, my arm is numb, you know? Does your neck hurt? Oh my God, it hurts so bad. I'm having a heart attack. I literally start texting my cardiologist, and I'm like, I think I'm having a heart attack. He's like, you can always divert the airplane. I'm like, should we divert the airplane? We land in Houston. I said, take us to the hospital. I get in the Uber. I mean, we flew to Houston to go to the hospital. We get to the hospital. I get in there. I'm there for about 2.5 hours. They put EKG tests on me. They test my blood. They put some weird thing up my nose to see if I had the flu. I didn't like it at all. All of it, blood pressure, test after test after test. They finally came back and they said, Mr. Wilkerson, we know you're experiencing these symptoms, but we've got good news for you. You're actually just fine. All you need is a little ibuprofen because you have a small virus that's going to fight off the inflammation. It's going to be inflammation? What's the word it does? I had inflammation. What does that thing do? It's an anti... That's what I was talking about. And they said, you just need a little bit of rest. And he's like, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. I said, doctor, keep preaching. Keep bringing it. He said, Rich, what's the point of the story? The point of the story is that until you address the symptoms, you don't know what the sickness is. Sometimes symptoms start showing up in our life, but we're too afraid to discover the sickness. But can I encourage you that when you know the sickness, you can discover the solution, but you gotta be a person who doesn't ignore it. Can you see Pharaoh going to bed that night? Frogs up in his bed. He's like, it's not a big deal. It's no big deal. Listen to me. Frogs, one more night with the frogs, that's not bliss. That's unbearable. And you're not called to live one more night with the frogs. If you got some symptoms today, it's time to get diagnosed and discover the sickness, because it's in discovering the sickness you're gonna find the solution. Come on, somebody, give God a big shout of praise. Ignorance is not bliss. But secondly, I love this thought. Secondly is this, if you got some frogs in your life, listen to this, breathing polluted air is common. You say, what? The World Health Organization will now say that one of the greatest risks to the environment is polluted air. In fact, in 2012 alone, 7 million people died from air pollution. In America, watch this now, over 50% of the population, something like 200 million plus people on a regular basis are breathing in polluted air. You say, Rich, why are you telling me that? I'm telling you that because most of us go through life never even thinking about it. We've just adapted to polluted air. And with it, we just say, that's common. Everybody's breathing this polluted air. And what a lot of us do is we ignore frogs for so long that after we've ignored them long enough, you know what we do? We adapt to living with frogs. Some of us, we got frogs in our life, and instead of even thinking about changing it, instead of ever addressing it, we just tell ourselves, this is normal. I'm living the frog life. There's always gonna be frogs up in my bedroom. I'm always gonna have frogs in the kitchen. I can't change this. I have resulted to being okay with a toxic environment. Some of us in this place, you're okay with things that are not okay. And I wanna remind you today that Jesus Christ, he came and he died, not just to get you to heaven, but he came and died that you might thrive on this earth. You don't have to live in a toxic world. You don't have to breathe polluted air. You can discover his will and his plan for your life. You don't have to keep living with frogs. I love what Romans chapter 12 says. This is a beautiful scripture. This is the Message version. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture. Paul's like, don't adapt to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Oh, the air's polluted. That's okay. Everyone's breathing the same air. It's just pretty common. We should just all do it because everybody's doing it. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. What's the scripture saying? The scripture is saying you don't just have to breathe polluted air because everybody else is breathing polluted air. You don't have to adapt to frogs in your life. You can actually step in to a clear air. You can actually step into kingdom air, and you can breathe, and you can step into the life, freedom, and liberty that God has planned for you. I wonder what you've been ignoring so long to, and now you've just adapted to it. Have you ever met, like, Christians that make excuses for toxic areas in their life? Like, I'm shocked sometimes. And I'm not trying to condemn people. I'm trying to help people. Because Jesus died for more than just getting you on those gold streets. He actually has a plan for your life, like Moses. He wants to put you on mission. But you keep making excuses for toxic areas. And the reason why is because you've gotten used to living with frogs. I was talking to a guy not too long ago, goes to the church, and Christian. And I was talking to him, I was like, bro, so where you been? He's like, oh, bro, we just went to Vegas and went to my boy's bachelor party. I said, how was it? I said, what'd you guys do? Like, what'd you guys do? He said, oh, man, we went to this strip club one night. I said, what? He said, oh, Pastor Rich, no, it was a classy strip club. I don't know the difference. What are you talking about? Oh, man, I only go once a year with the boys. Come on, everybody was doing it. Some other guys were there from church, too. I said, have you lost your ever-loving mind? See, what happens is that we get in the culture, and we get with the crowd, and everyone's breathing polluted air, and we go, oh, we're still standing. Must not be that big of a deal. No, it's toxic. You got frogs in your life. I've adapted to it. It's just normal. No, what you're doing is you're objectifying women. You're devaluing humanity. You're searing your conscience. Every single day you're watching that stuff, it's killing you from the inside out. But if you're happy with breathing polluted air, I'm telling you what, it's just a matter of time before these frogs get you. So some of you in this place, like, you've been in a relationship, and like every relationship you go to, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, it's just toxic. And it's because you don't understand that the air you're breathing is polluted. Did you know that every disagreement doesn't have to result in you raising your voice? Did you know that you can actually fight fair? Did you know that when you fight, you don't have to curse at each other? You don't have to name call? That's just what we always do. Well, you're wrong. Jesus came to fix that. Some of you are like, yo, bro, I can't go out unless I have, you know, a drink, unless I feel a little bit of a buzz. It's just what I do. I've been doing it since college. Did you know that you're wrong? Do you know that you can learn to have a good time without being buzzed, without being numb to those around you? Do you know that Jesus and the Holy Spirit can fill you in such a way that you can be the life of the party without being intoxicated? Some of us in this place, it's like we just go from thing to thing to thing, whether it's gossip, whether it's people at work that are doing something wrong and they just want you to turn an eye. Just don't look, don't focus on it. It's not a big deal. We're not all doing it. And it takes some people of God that say, I'm not going to do one more night with these frogs. These frogs don't belong in my life. Can you imagine like how silly that would look if you came into my house and there was frogs everywhere? Like, open up my oven, frogs jumping out. And I'm just like, how you doing? You good? Well, you want some tea? As I open, get my tea, the frog comes out of the cup, you know. You would probably be like, yo, bro, have you noticed you have frogs everywhere? I know, but they're nice. And they're cute. I call that one Kermit. You'd be like, well, you're crazy. And what happens to us is this, is that if you don't address it, you can't contest it. If you don't address it, you can't contest it. A couple years ago, I was taking a trip. I was going to preach at this church, and I was traveling with somebody. I typically always have someone traveling with me. And when he got in the car, I knew we had a situation going on, because I want to try to say this as clear as I can, but be as sweet as I can. He had a serious body odor problem. I mean, whoa, okay, like this, wow. And as soon as it hit me, I was like, I need to address this. This is a situation. And so I didn't want to do it in front of anybody else. So we head to the airport. I'm like, you know, I'm putting the window down. Like, this is bad, you know? And so we get on the airplane and I'm going, you know, I want to let him know, yo, bro, you don't smell good, but I don't know what the appropriate way is. Hey, man, as your boy, you stink. Like, it's difficult. You know what I'm talking about? It's difficult. And so because I was afraid to confront him, I kept kind of putting it off, and I wanted to confront him, because it's like, yo, how you gonna get married? How you gonna get a job? This is a serious thing. And so we get to the hotel, and I'm like, okay, you know what? We're going to church. You know what? I'm gonna address this after church, after God has ministered to him and his heart is open, then I'm gonna come in and really pastor him, you know? And so we go to church, and After church, we go and we eat dinner. We're in the hotel lobby with some of the other leaders and pastors. And he leaves the dinner early to go to sleep. And I was like, all right, as soon as I get done with this, I'm gonna address this thing. I'm gonna challenge this thing in the name of Jesus. You gotta take a bath, you know? This is spiritual stuff. I'm helping somebody. And so I'll never forget that night. I went up the elevator and I opened my hotel room. And when I opened the hotel room, the smell of him has now overtaken. It has spread into the room. Have you ever smelled something and it made you angry? Like, oh, like you want to fight, you know, like. I'm like, that's it. But he was asleep. I was like, that's it. Tomorrow, I'm dealing with this stench, you know, casting out demons, you know. I go to sleep and I wake up next morning. When I wake up, the first thing when I wake up, I'm like, you know what? I gotta talk to this guy. But as I went to take my first, you know, breath of air, I went, and as I inhaled, I was so surprised. Could you believe it? The smell was completely gone. I said, you're a good God. Not only was the smell gone, the shower was running and he was bathed. I said, Holy Spirit, you are always convicting and working even without us. You did all the work for me. He's just cleansing himself. I said, that's not so bad. I'm so glad I just was patient on the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad I didn't, you know, jump the gun. I'm so glad I just waited on God. We left and we went to the church, and as we got to the church, I'll never forget what transpired. He's about 5 feet behind me, and I was walking with the lead pastor, and as I was walking with the lead pastor went, he said, hey, Rich, did you take a bath this morning? I said, yes, sir. He goes, bro, I hate to say it, but you smell pretty bad. And I learned a lesson really quick. The lesson was, I had spent the night with that odor that it had become so common and familiar to me that that which stunk today, the next day, it didn't smell so bad. I had adapted to the pollution in the room. Come on, some of you, you have no idea what you've adapted to, and it's until you get around some people of God that they say, yo, you got frogs in your life, and it's time that you address that. You got to fix this thing. You got to address this thing. You got to contest this thing. It's got to change today. Come on, somebody, give God a shout of praise. Just because other people are breathing polluted air doesn't make it okay. What have you become okay with today? That's just not okay. I had hung all night in this room that smelled so bad that I had adapted to it. I had acclimated to it, but I didn't realize that the stench got on me. Finally, when I stepped into my mission, when I stepped into my life, when I stepped into the things that God has for me, that which I had been hanging around in had gotten on me, that it affected me. I wonder today, what are the frogs in your life that you have just resulted with this idea? You know what? It's not that I'm even ignoring them. It's just I've just adapted. Like I've learned how to be in this relationship with it being so toxic. I've learned that, you know what? If I'm going to get a good night rest, I'm going to have to drink a little bit. That's Rich, yo. I got stress, man. I've learned that for me to have a good time, it means I have to objectify someone else. What area in your life today are you satisfied with saying, you know what, I'll just do one more night with these frogs? Right. Here's Moses. Moses is like, yo, Pharaoh, I'll give you the, I'll put the power in your hand. When do you want these frogs? When do you want me to pray for you that these frogs might leave? And Pharaoh goes, pray tomorrow. Yeah. What? Yet how many times do we come into church? How many times do we go to VU Crew? How many times do we hear, go to Growth Track? How many times do we show up when I Love My City's happening? Say, you know what, I'm gonna do that tomorrow. Some of us in this room, you're hearing me right now, you say, you know what, this is a good message. I like this message, but I'm gonna deal with this January 7th when Rich begins preaching in 2018. That's when I got New Year's Eve coming up. I can't really get rid of frogs before then. And this is what I know. I know this. I know that tomorrow is always easier than today. Tomorrow, it's always easier than today. Tomorrow, I'm gonna clean those frogs out. Tomorrow, I'm going to go to the gym. Tomorrow, I'm going to start that diet. What is it about? Tomorrow sounds so sexy. Tomorrow sounds so perfect, so easy. Everything's easy tomorrow. But you know what I've learned? I learned that the devil's favorite word is tomorrow. And God's favorite word is today. Today is the day of salvation. Right now, in this moment, change can occur. Change happens in a moment. The results of change, that takes a lifetime. But change, it happens in a moment. It's a decision to say, I'm not going one more night like this. I'm not putting up with these frogs. I'm not going to ignore this. I'm not going to hide it. I'm coming out of hiding. I'm not adapting my life to having frogs in my house. What are we talking about? I'm going to start today. Today is the day of salvation. Here's the truth. The truth is this, is that frogs today, they only grow worse tomorrow. I don't know how much time you have, but in Pharaoh's case, it took 8 more plagues after the plague of frogs, and it finally ended with the 10th plague. The 10th plague being the worst of them all. The angel of death came over Egypt. Isn't it amazing? The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Solomon will say unto us, there's a way that seems right to the man, but in the end, it leads to destruction. There was an escape route for the angel of death. God spoke to Moses, and he said, tell the people that if they want to be spared, if they don't want their firstborn to die, then they should take lamb's blood, and they should kill a lamb, and they should take the blood of the lamb, and they should paint it on the doorpost. And when the angel of death comes into Egypt, he will pass over every house that the blood of the lamb is painted on the doorpost. And that night when the angel of death came over, all of the Israelites, their firstborn was spared, but the Egyptians, their firstborn, they died. And Pharaoh said, get the people out, get them going. I don't want them here anymore. It took 10 plagues, and I believe you now, God. I've had this hard heart, but I believe you now. It took death to get my attention. Get out of Egypt. God commanded the Israelite people, the Jewish people. He said, once a year, you should remember this moment. It's called the Passover feast. In fact, even today, Jews still remember this moment. They remember the moment that the angel Lord passed over their house and spared them from the wrath of the angel of death. Here comes the Christmas message. 2017 years ago, God sent his son in the form of a little baby in a manger. Wise men showed up. Shepherds show up. Mary and Joseph were there. There wasn't even enough room in the inn, and so he was born in a stable. Yet this baby was born to die. Born to die for you and for me. For when John the Baptist saw him, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Here's my own translation. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the frogs of the world. The Bible says that Jesus was led like a lamb to the slaughter. He did not open his mouth, but as he died, his blood was shed. And you and I, well, we don't have to celebrate the old covenant because we're not celebrating coming out of physical slavery. No, you and I, we are children of the new covenant. We're celebrating and we remember every single day the fact that Jesus Christ, he has set us free spiritually. And our house, just like those Jews in Egypt, we are covered by the blood of Jesus. And now when God looks upon us, we don't have to worry about his wrath for our mistakes, but rather we receive his full blessing for everything that Jesus Christ did. The baby in the manger. Jesus died, not just to get you to heaven. He died that you might thrive on this earth. In your life, when you're in Christ Jesus, it's covered by the blood. You're not seen for your mistakes. We don't have to worry about punishment, but rather we can allow the Holy Spirit, here we go, to convict us, not condemn us, convict us and point us to the cross where Jesus paid the penalty for every one of those frogs in our life. The Bible says that Jesus, he stands at the door and he knocks. He says, I stand at the door and knock. Will you let me in? Some of us today, in December 17th, 2017, before the new year comes, we need to allow Jesus to come in and soften our heart. Pharaoh's heart had become so hard that he ignored the frogs. Pharaoh's heart had become so hard that he adapted to the frogs. And Pharaoh's heart had become so hard that he delayed the miracle of seeing the frogs leave at an appointed time. Today, let's not delay. Tomorrow is going to always sound easier, but today is the day of salvation. I'm not spending one more night with these frogs. I'm cleaning my house. I'm cleaning my life. Come on, if you believe it, give God a big shout of praise in this house.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com. or on any social media platform at VU Church.